Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am Menace, one of your hosts, and I'm here with Flash. What is up indeed? Hello world. This is the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper, the crisp 23 flavors, the nectar of the gods. We have tokens. I don't know if you knew this, but we have tokens. Flash, can you repeat that for the world?
We have tokens.
Woo! And they're the sickest tokens. They're on screen. They're so awesome. Made by our buddy Death Milk Designs. Check them out if you want them. Jump on the Discord server. Reach out to Menace, and we'll get some in your hands. All right. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. You can also support us on all major podcasting platforms by giving us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. You can also leave comments on Spotify or any other platform, really. You can also support us directly via Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you get access to our bi-weekly giveaways. And you can become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, like Will Rule, K Mr. K, UWP Quirt, D-Mun 82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, The Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, maybe Jeremy, maybe Anthony. Thank you guys all for your support. We appreciate it so much. The cap of the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier is closing in on full. So if you're not a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, make sure you jump on before we reach the cap on that. We also have Revenlift hanging out in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge. This week is an exciting episode. A couple days ago, I just remember asking Flash if we wanted to do our, like, Orzhov shenanigans or something like that, and you actually surprised me with this one. But today we're talking about Glarb, Calamity's Augur. We're going to do a little CDH breakdown of Glarb, because, you know, Flash, I think your style is like commanders that magnify those, like, really powerful old strategies, like,
okay,
like Doomsday, right? Especially with this deck, you love Doomsday piles.
I mean, it's 5 cards that win you the game, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like a form of ad nauseum, but for at sorcery speed, it's 3 mana, right?
For 3 mana. Yeah. But maybe sexy. Not sorcery speed, cuz you know you're playing Valley Floodcaller.
Absolutely. Yeah. Such a good addition to the format and to the meta. But these Glarb decks have kind of been popping off lately. Now that CDH is in this, like, I don't want to say like golden era. Maybe it is. You know, you never know until you're past it. But since the banning of Dockside Mana Crypt and Jeweled Lotus, it's like, man, you don't have to, like, there's so much creativity out there right now with these decks. And I'm here for it. Like, at MagicCon, Shalai and Halar was popping off. I loved it. I have a ton of new ideas on how to, like, warp it, change it, and adjust to a meta that is not just Dockside comes out, explodes, and wins the game. I love where it's at right now. And if decks like Glarb get to thrive, I'm all about it. Was there anything in Magic news this week that's really worth mentioning?
No. Are you hinting at something?
No. I was just curious, like, if anything caught your attention, because outside of us, like, we're gonna establish something on this show. This CDH breakdown will be the PSB era Glarb, but we're calling this the pre SpongeBob meta. We know those cards are going to warp the format, and that's pretty much it. Just that we're all counting down the days until SpongeBob warps the meta around it. And, oh, I guess Foundations comes out within the next week after this episode releases. So,
okay.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Standard is going to see a big warp and a big change. I think a lot of content creators out there have been hoping and waiting for new cards. They've reached their creative capacity with the cards that are currently on the market. So,
are you playing a lot of Standard on Arena right now, or
No. I'm watching a lot of it. Trying to just keep some grounding to it, like, because I think it is interesting, like, to just be informed on multiple formats, and I'm trying to stay connected to Standard to see the health of that format, because it does I think it does impact other formats regardless, in a way it speaks to the health of the format or to the health of the game. So yeah, I've been watching a lot. Swayze, if you haven't checked him out, great content creator. I think he's up and coming. He has great attitude about the game. CGB plays a lot of different types of decks, and I think even he can admit his content isn't where it used to be. And then you also have Ash Lizzle, who does a lot of different decks and climbs the Mythic Ladder with them. I think there was at one point just this last month where she was sitting at number one on Mythic in best of three. So, and not only a creative deck builder, but also a great player. So those are a few options out there if you are looking for content to consume as far as Standard content goes on Arena. Those are three of the content creators that I pay attention to just to see what's going on in the meta, how the game is balanced, all that good stuff. All right. Our main subject. Let's talk about Glarb, dude.
Okay, sure. Let's go.
Oh, before we do that,
we have tokens.
We have tokens for the Mockstars podcast, number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper. Please like, subscribe, feed the algae rhythm. Don Cheadle is starving for the analytics. So our Lord, our Savior, who takes the form of Don Cheadle. And then Willie send his peeps, obviously. Naya guy gonna do it. And what else? What else are we known for? The Limitless Pill.
Mid-range mindset. You did say the whirring gears thing.
Yeah, all the tiny little bones earlier in my face.
Yes, yep.
Yeah, I still don't know where that's from. Nobody commented. Nobody followed through on that. All right, awesome episode time. Glarb, let's go! Glarb, super cool. If you guys are not familiar with Glarb, Flash, would you like to do the honors?
Sure. Yep. Black, green, blue. It's a frog wizard noble. Death touch. 2/4 death touch. Look at the top card of your library anytime. You move play lands and cast spells with mana value 4 or greater from the top of your library. And tap, surveil 2.
Yeah, this is a good card.
Yeah, so, lots of things you can do with it. The abilities go with each other as well, except for death touch. But, looking at the top card of your library, being able to play lands, and then, minor restriction, cast spells with mana value 4 or greater from the top of your library. And then the Surveil helps, with both those things, interacts with it.
Yeah. I think the greatest thing about Glarb, obviously in the combination with Doomsday, is that when it's on the battlefield, you just get to play through the stack, right? Your first card can lead, if it's mana value 4 or greater, can lead to the next card, to the next card, to the next card, right? I didn't realize how good that would be until you sent me the list, and I was like, oh, man, this is actually super solid. And let's just be clear, in the list, there aren't a lot of, cards that cost 4 or more, so that's really not what you're looking for. You're basically just looking. When Doomsday goes off, it's essentially a 4-card stack if you haven't played a land that turn, right? You just knock the land off,
yep.
And then maybe even a 2-card stack, right? because you could just like not play the land, tap Glarb, dump two more cards to the grave, and then you just got the two left. So
yeah, and there's some like sneaky spells. There's like one piece of tech that I saw on the list that I worked off of, No One Left Behind, which is a 5 CMC reanimation spell, but costs 3 less to cast. If it targets a creature with mana value 3 or less, you're going to target Thoracle.
Oh!
At which point, you can cast it off, you know, you're going to be able to cast it off the top of your deck.
Yeah, and, wow.
Yeah.
That's really good. That's crazy. So, yeah, you just, I mean, if you have Thoracle in the grave, you not, like, you fire off a Doomsday, you get away with it. Right.
I mean, so what you can do is what I'm saying in that scenario, like you put the Thoracle in your Doomsday pile.
Yeah.
Thoracle CMC is 2, so you can't cast it with Glarb, but you surveil it into your graveyard.
Yeah.
And then you just cast it with No One Left Behind for 2.
And yeah, as long as you do the math right, no one left behind is left on, you know, is the top card after surveilling 2. Or just, yeah, obviously leave it on top. And then it should, yeah, so land, put your land on top. Play it for turn, surveil 2, throw Thassa's Oracle and something else. It could even, you know, or Thassa's Oracle into the grave, leave this on top, cast it from the top. Oracle, like the Oracle comes in, there's 2 cards left in your library. You don't have to have Devotion more than that, but you know, it's that's crazy. That is,
yeah, you don't need the Demonic Consultation and Tainted Pact are still in here, right? Because like you're not going to just give up the possible free win that you can play through interaction,
right?
But yeah, you get your pile can just be land, Thoracle, one other card to go into your graveyard. Maybe you have 6 on the battlefield so you can recur it or something. And then No One Left Behind, Thoracle, automatically you can win as long as it goes off.
Yeah. Oh man, I think. Okay, so,
and then maybe below that, what is that? 2 more cards left in your pile, right? From the Doomsday.
Yeah.
Maybe you have like what are the 4 CMC counter spells that you leave on there that you can just play off the top? You have like maybe Mindbreak Track comes into play.
Yeah.
Force of Will you can leave on top of your deck.
You can put Deadly Rollick
Snuff
on
out
top
if you need to. If you do, yeah, Misdirection. Yeah, those spells can all go on top of your, the One Ring, maybe. That,
yeah.
That might be a reasonable thing to put on top of your library.
Oh yeah, there, so there is, you're absolutely right. There, they have all these, like, the Snuff Out's crazy too.
Pulling,
yeah.
Ritual, Beseech the Mirror, like, those are all things that can go on top of your library.
Oh wow. And you can, yes, it's, the engine feeds itself, right? Glarb surveils too. You look to see if one of those is on top or in the top 2. And then it's just like, yeah, I will throw one in the grave and leave this one on top. And then you just cast it, yep, for nothing.
Oh,
yeah.
Phyrexian Metamorph. That's a spicy thing to put in your Doomsday and cast with Glarb.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
If you need maybe like mana to make this happen, like Phyrexian Metamorph could come in and, I don't know, clone a Mana Rock or clone a One Ring or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Do something spicy.
Okay, this is the only time you'll hear the Mock Stars say this. Sylvan Library is good in this list.
It is, yeah, because you want that top deck manipulation, right?
Oh, that pained me. That hurt. Oh!
Yeah, I mean, because in this case, you're also playing Sensei's Divining Top, right? And then Glarb has its own top deck manipulation. So, you know, maybe you just scry away the crap with Sylvan Library.
Counterbalance is so good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Counterbalance is in there too, interacting with all that stuff.
Wow. Okay.
So that's the thing too, like it protects its own win.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, no, this is
I mean, not single-handedly, but like if you're smart and you know your deck list and you manipulate the top deck right, it's a piece that helps protect your win.
This is what you want to see when you're building a deck. Like you start putting the pieces of a deck together, right? And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, I have the potential for turn 2 wins. Great. That's my ceiling. And then the deck just turns into this, like, everything works with each other and with the commander into this, like, crazy mid-range engine. Like, wow. I'm actually, the more we talk about it, the more I'm in love with the list, and I want to play this.
Or let's say you lose your Thoracle, right?
Yeah.
Jace, Wielder of Mysteries, is good in this deck because it's 4 CMC.
Yeah. I just looked at Beseech the Mirror, and I just went, what the fuck?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you wanted to, like, say something, somebody knows where to stick their finger in this deck, you all, then your Doomsday Pile can just be Jace, Wielder of Mysteries, Beseech the Mirror, one of your Forbidden Tutors or something, you know?
Yeah, it could be a, well, hear me out. Your Doomsday Pile could be land, tap Glarb, surveil two, throw two in the grave, cast Jace off the top in your last card, or and then you have like a brainstorm type effect or whatever, and you win the game.
Yeah, the list I looked at had a brainstorm in the list, and maybe that's what they're thinking.
Right, so yeah, you could just Jace. So, oh wow, no, Jace just wins it right off the top. So let's say you do land, surveil two. So play the land off the top, surveil two, throw two in the grave. Next card is Jace, right? Play the Jace, plus one it, you win. It says put the top two cards of their library into the graveyard, then draw a card. So you just hit yourself. Yep. There goes the last one card. Bye.
Yeah. I mean, Jace might be his own Doomsday Pile.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. With Glarb, that's woo. Yeah, as long as you have the three blue mana to cast that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only line of text that I wish Glarb had is if it said you can spend any color of mana. That would be...
Oh, man, if only.
Ugh! That'd be gross. The deck is already good.
I mean, this is a surprising combination of colors. Like, there's not really any decks that care about Sultai right now, right?
Dude, this was... Yeah, okay, so this is a point I wanted to make, and I think that we could even roll into a conversation here, is that, like, Sultai in the past has been ass. It's been garbage. Nobody's been wanting to play it. Like, yes, you do have access to black and blue, you know, for, like, Thoracle combos and stuff like that, but like it was like once you added green to the mix, the deck just got worse, and like because you were sort of like muddying the waters of what was already an efficient pile, and then because you didn't have red, you didn't have access to Dockside, it wasn't a good deck, or like the combination of colors just weren't seen as viable. You know, it was never like meta. It was always fringe. Like Sultai decks were always fringe. And now Dockside's gone, man. Red is balanced, sort of, you know, and you don't need it as much. So I think Sultai has a breath of fresh air here. Like I'm excited for the color combination and this deck. Yeah. Okay. I'm sold on it. Let's roll through the creatures and just kind of like, maybe not one by one, but pull out the important pieces here that really like help you assemble the combos. So it looks like three dorks right off the bat. Deathrite Shaman. Go ahead.
Deathrite, Birds of Paradise, Delighted Halfling. Elvish Spirit Guide. Are you going to count that?
You can. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. 3.5 dorks, maybe.
Right. And then you have the auto includes of Orcish Bowmasters and Polywog Prodigy. Dothy Voidwalker is a clever stacks piece here. It is asymmetrical, so it doesn't exile your graveyard. Thassa's Oracle, Storm Drake over Gilded Drake.
I mean, there's no reason to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's maybe just, yeah, no,
a quirk that I didn't fix in the list. It's okay. Cooler art.
It does have way cooler art. You could just get an altar and put a scribble out volatile and write gilded on it. The sweet artwork.
Phyrexian Metamorph, we already talked about. Hullbreaker Horror is in there for funsies. No Displacer Kitten. Maybe a Displacer Kitten over Notion Thief or Opposition Agent, maybe in the future.
Yeah, like I like the idea of stopping other people from winning or generating card advantage, but at the same time, you need to pursue the win. So, you know, it's
you know what? I'm factoring that right now. I'm going to take out Notion Thief for Displacer Kitten.
Yeah.
Right now.
It comes down to the pilot for sure. Like, I do think endurance is awesome here. Not only does it, like, protect the game, right? Keeps other players from winning. It also protects your graveyard in a pinch where, you know, if someone sees what you're doing or whatever. Yeah. Great.
Because this deck does sometimes want to reanimate Thoracle or something else for the win. Maybe you want to reanimate Holebreaker Horror. Like, you know, that Surveil, like, is going to dump stuff in your graveyard.
Yeah.
So
even Talion is, like, a viable reanimation target.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, six also just sexy here. I, like, the more that this card pops up in CDH builds, the more I appreciate it. It's Underworld Breach for green, and all you have to do is discard a land.
Yep. Also, you know, the other thing I like about this deck is that it uses the graveyard as a second hand without relying on the graveyard as a second hand.
Right.
So it doesn't make you vulnerable to, like, graveyard hate strategies, but you can still pursue them, like, if it's open.
Right. Yeah. That's the balance. That's the tightrope walk for a lot of these decks is, like, are you completely dependent on the grave? Are you completely dependent on the commander? You know, and this one just, like, says, nah, dude, I'm not completely dependent on anything. I can actually just walk through the fire and come out the other side. Like, I'm the more I look at the deck, like, I know that you're swapping out the Notion Thief for the Displacer Kitten, which I think makes the Hullbreaker Horror a little bit more viable. Like, you do, like, it just becomes stronger. Like, the more work you put in, the more, like, reps you get in. The deck, like I said, comes down to the pilot a lot of the time. This can win games. This looks like it wins games. Sorceries.
Did we talk about subtlety in the deck?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I think that's good. I think subtlety is a good card in general, and maybe it removes a stacks piece on the battlefield. Maybe it's part of your doomsday pile because it is for CMC.
Yeah, if another dumb circumstance is probably not going to come up, but if you put Jace on the stack and someone tries to counter it, you can use a subtlety to just put it back on top.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So
right.
That's pretty
Sorceries,
good.
I guess.
Yeah.
Beseech the Mirror. Boom.
Yep.
We talked about Beseech the Mirror. We talked about Colon Ritual. Demonic Tutor. Doomsday, we talked about it. This deck, something you get in Sultai, Eldritch Edge of Evolution and Neoform for the Thoracle combo.
Yeah.
Or for another piece.
Yeah, this is like the Neoform. And most decks that like pod, like I get you can I guess that's is that the widely known term of just evolve, you know, like the evolution thing, mm-hmm. just podding creatures. But Neoform is a one-time pod. And like,
yeah, I mean, you only care about podding into two CMC.
Right.
And your mana dorks do that.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. Yeah. Neoform and Eldritch Evolution are awesome cards.
No One Left Behind. We talked about that.
Yep. I think Personal Tutor is great here because it allows you to just put something on top that you can just cast with Glarb.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that I think it's kind of like that or Imp Seal. I think Imperial Seal is probably better here.
Yeah.
I should probably make that switch. But yes, it's a strong card. I'm going to move that to the sideboard, grab the Imperial Seal. Actually.
Nice. Building this deck live, on air. You're here. You're with us. Yeah, Doomsday, like, if y'all are unfamiliar, Doomsday is this, well, card from a bygone era that pops up every once in a while.
Did we not even talk about Doomsday itself?
No. Would you like to do the honors?
Sure. Three black mana, sorcery, search your library and graveyard for 5 cards and exile the rest. Put the chosen cards on top of your library in any order. You lose half your life rounded up.
Boom. That last sentence does not matter.
Yeah, it's irrelevant.
Yep.
So what if it's 20 life or more or less? It's, then, you know,
yeah.
You're putting together 5 cards from your library and graveyard, not exile, but just library and graveyard and five cards that should be able to win you the game. You have a commander that if it's on the field, you can interact with three of those cards at least. All five if you do it smart.
Yep. Yeah, this is... Yeah, Doomsday. It even has the Junji Ito variant that I know you love. You bought that one, right?
I do. I have it in Japanese.
Hell yeah. Yeah, no, this artwork is just, like, it's everything. It's, like, it's demonic. It's demented. It is iconic. Like, this should be the ideal artwork for Doomsday. Like, if it isn't already determined, it is determined now on the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Reanimate, we mentioned it. It's just a good card. I consider it an auto-include.
Yep.
And then Toxic Deluge. I think this deck needs at least one board wipe. I would not be against considering a 4 CMC board wipe instead.
Yeah. That makes sense. Just playing... God, what's that? The not Wrath of God, but Damnation?
Yeah, something like that, maybe.
Yeah, I know that a lot of decks would rather, like, go to the 3-mana stuff, but no, this is a deck that can be flexible with 4-mana interaction.
I mean, it already has Culling Ritual that performs that way. Eat to Extinction, Vats, stuff like that, maybe.
Oh, sure.
Worth considering just for the fringe cases. But I think overall Toxic Deluge is the best choice.
Right. Yeah. Like we said, life doesn't really matter. Like, in some games, it will. I think whenever you play against Atlas, it will, because he wins through combat damage mostly.
But, hey, got a Deathrite Shaman in here. Can be sneaky about gaining life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of Atlas, using every bit of that Deathrite Shaman.
Yes. Yeah. I was using it at MagicCon in my Jund list, and it's like, no, it does a lot. It is the 1-mana Planeswalker, and it's like, and you can activate it on other people's turns. That's the thing about it. If you guys are sleeping on Deathrite Shaman, don't. It is the best 1-mana card in the game. Maybe not the best 1-mana card. It's the best 1-mana creature in the game. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. 1-mana Planeswalker.
Yep.
Instance?
Yeah.
I think we talked about all the sorceries, right? I mean, I think the instance here, there aren't really any surprises. It's all just real efficient stuff.
Yeah, stuff that...
All your most efficient blue-green-black interaction.
Yeah, and I think that a card to point out here is Abrupt Decay. Like... Mm-hmm. This is another generically good card that is oftentimes overlooked. It puts in work. Trust me, everything
can be countered by spells or abilities.
Yes, that's a big thing. The only thing that can happen is it can get pushed back to your hand by something like Sink into Stupor, which is obviously
also in this deck.
Yeah, and it's more prevalent now than ever. But like, Abrupt Decay is like super undervalued and underappreciated. It's disgustingly good. It hits everything that is a win condition in primary meta decks. So get out there, get your Abrupt Decays in there if they're in your colors. If you're in five colors, play it. It's really, really good.
Yeah, I've loved this card since it was printed. Like, it was a beast in standard. It was good in modern. Like, I feel like it's great in multiple formats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it hasn't gotten any worse. If anything, as the game has gotten more efficient, the card's gotten better, right? It's just like, it's one of those cards that the text on it can actually grow with the game, and there are very few cards in Magic that do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, continue rolling through the instance.
All three can't refuse. Great counterspell. Assassin's Trophy, another super efficient removal spell that I feel like has been great since it was printed. I mm-hmm. doubt your opponents are playing basics, so there's no downside to it.
Right. It gets rid of Gaia's Cradles, which are becoming more of a combo outlet than in the past.
Yes. Born Upon the Wind. You also have Valley Floodcaller in here, but you are playing both Necroponents and Necrodominance. So it does have that end step win situation if you wanted.
Yep.
Psych Rift, we know it, we love it. Dark Ritual, which, by the way, this I have this foil Frank Frazetta Dark Ritual. I had no idea how expensive this has gotten.
Yeah, it's $100.
Yeah, it's wild.
No, I always print the proxy of that specific one. Like,
it's the best one.
It is. It is indeed.
Frank Frazetta rules. Deadly Rollick. Yeah, I mean, both a good removal spell, also something it can be in your Doomsday pile and be played with Glarb off the top.
Yep.
If you need to, you know, if you need to, like, clear a stacks, a hate bear off the board or something, right, to go yep. off. Demonic Consultation, we talked about it. Fierce Guardianship, you're going to play it. I mean, Glarb.
You're in the colors.
DMC Commander, that you're probably good. Flusterstorm, know it, love it. Force Negation, know it.
Love it.
Force of Vigor, 4CMC, can be in your Doomsday pile and be played with Glarb.
Right? Unfortunately, not during your turn, though. Like, you can't cast it for free during your turn. But you can surveil it to the top.
You can still surveil it to the top. You can still cast it with mana because it is an instant.
Yeah. Yep. I do think, so rewind a little bit to Fierce Guardianship. Regardless of if your commander is 9 fucking mana, I don't care, like, and you're in blue, I think you just play Fierce Guardianship, like, automatically, just because it's that good. At 3 mana, counter target non-creature spell, it's just the viability of it being free, like, that up, that ceiling is worth it, even if your commander's, like, crazy high in cost. So, always worth it.
Do not disagree. Force of Will, know it, love it. Also, you can cast it with Glarb off the top. Gush, same deal.
You can this cast is it with the Glarb one
off the top.
This is the one. Like, I didn't even think about this, but your Doomsday pile just gets that much better with this. Like, with Glarb on the field. Like, I'll just return my two. I'll tap my two islands, return them to my hand. Boom.
Yeah, I kept the mana base pretty basic for this. It might be worth looking at again and being like, hey, should I get a couple more islands in this list in terms of, like, the dual lands I'm playing?
I think you can. I think you can even, if you lean in that direction, I think you can even start considering Mystic Sanctuary. Because, you know, like, if you're surveilling, throwing something in the grave, be like, oh, and I'll grab that. Put that on top.
Anyone listening with like experience with this deck, if they have an opinion about that specifically, I would be super interested. Because, like, I the list that I looked at, it's playing all of the 5 color lands, like Forbidden Orchard, Exotic Orchard, and those two specifically, I would be open to be like, should I be playing something else in this slot?
Yeah, I think because Mystic Sanctuary also puts the card back on top of your library, like, kind of good here, right? It's funny how it, like, actually benefits you more putting it onto the top than putting it in your hand, as long as you control Glarb.
Yeah. Yes. So Gush, Into the Flood Maw. I think maybe Strix Serenade in this spot or something, but, you know, another 1CMC interaction spell that I think is worth playing in these colors.
Yeah.
Mindbreak Trap can be playable with Glarb if you need it.
Right.
Same deal with Misdirection. I think ideally when you build your Doomsday pile, you're going to want to build it to leave one of these two cards, Misdirection, Force of Will, Mindbreak Trap, on top of your library, right?
Right.
In the last two cards, just as like a backup.
As you put a Thassa's Oracle on the stack, these are sitting on top.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, if possible. I think that's what you want to do. And even if you had played them earlier in the game, because Doomsday, you're taking cards from your graveyard, you're going to grab these back. These are going to be the last two cards in your library, I think.
Yeah.
Hopefully you have some blue cards in hand when you do this to play them for free, but, you know. Mystical Tutor. No explanation needed. Snuff out. 4CMC. Interaction. Life doesn't matter.
Yep.
Swan Song. No explanation needed. Tainted Pact. Forbidden, you know, Forbidden Tutor. Vamp Tutor, Worldly Tutor, I think no explanation needed for those either.
Yeah, I think you're, like, as we talk about these instances, as you talk through, like, your suite of interaction, like, you are correcting yourself along the way, right? Like, Strict Serenade, you know, like, and stuff like that. You're seeing gaps that, and you know the deck. Here's the thing. This deck is so young, right? You're already making it better just by talking about it.
So, yeah, that's all the instances. Artifacts, I think... not a ton of spice here. The One Ring, Wishclaw Talisman, Mana Rocks, and then Sensei's Divining Top, because you want to, you know, manipulate the top of your deck.
Right. I'd be curious as to see what cards at 4 mana value or greater outside of the One Ring can, like, benefit this strategy, right?
Well, there's Apple of Eden, Isu Relic. But I decided because you have blue and you don't need the silence effects... to leave that out. The list that I copied was playing it, and I could see maybe wanting to play this. But, you know, I just don't have reps with this deck, so.
Yeah, silence effects are good, right? And it gives you actually card advantage as well, so.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to just throw a redundant, like, Mystic Forge in there, too, so you can just play everything off the top of your deck. Sure. Bolas's Citadel, maybe, like, things like that.
Yeah, that'd be gross.
Yeah, that's artifacts. Unless you have more to say about that, we can move on to enchantments.
Oh, yeah. My favorite section.
Cool. So, Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study. Don't need to talk about them. Sylvan Library, we talked about how it's good here because you're manipulating your top deck. So, it's actually, you know...
the only time.
Sylvan Library plus Glarb, you're digging a lot deeper.
I know there have been, decks in the past where I've, like, criticized Sylvan Library and the player will say, like... well, I can just manipulate the top with it. And, like, I've had arguments against that. This is different. I will just say that right now. This is different in this just because of the card advantage you have with Glarb to surveil to on top. So if you don't like what you see, you don't have to pay the life. You can just surveil it to the grave. Like, there's nuance to this where in other lists there isn't, you know, like... this is not just generically good. This is magnified.
Specifically good in this deck.
Yes, specifically good.
Yeah, I don't think Sylvan Library at this level is generically good, right? It's power creeped out of generically good.
Yes.
But because you have something in the command zone that makes it better, then it's playable.
It's viable.
Yeah. Necroponents and Necrodominance, we talked about it. It's just possible to do in this deck. Can in some situations be a non-bow with Doomsday if you're exiling some of your key pieces. So just don't do that.
Yeah, just don't.
Just don't.
Yeah.
I would not do the thing that would lose you the game.
Right.
I don't know if there's more to talk about here. Like like I said, you have Valley Flood Caller and Born Upon the Wind. Leaves those lines open for you.
Yeah, I think like... one of your opening hands, if you're opening with this deck and you see, you know, land, Dark Ritual, Necrodominance, or Necropotence, most of the time, that's a snap keep, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, exactly. That's kind of what it is. Like, Necropotence, Necrodominance, Doomsday, Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study in your opening hand all essentially say, plus all the best tutors in the game, like, it just gives you more capable opening hands, I think.
That's actually gross to me, thinking you can fire off a, like, literally a turn one Doomsday, and then you could still win the game on the following turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, your opponents are just obviously on edge at that point, but, yeah, you just put, like, a Soul Ring as the next thing, you know, that you draw. And then you're generating the mana.
You can make it happen. Like, I'm sure there's... I haven't looked at the primers too much, but I'm sure there's all sorts of, like, really crazy lines there. Just because, like, you have... you know, again, you have all the most efficient interaction from blue. You have all the most, like, you know, efficient tutors in black. And then you have, like, the best parts of green enabling both of those strategies.
Right. Yeah.
So that's mostly enchantments. And then one more thing, counterbalance. Counterbalance, which is just great because you're manipulating your top deck multiple ways. It's just extra protection. Like, if you have this on the board, there is no reason to have anything that you cast countered, and no reason to let your opponents cast anything.
Yeah, yeah. When you have basically the ability to look through three cards at a time with the activation from Glarb, like, there's a good chance. They're just, I mean, when Talion enters the battlefield, most people say two. And so when you have counterbalance on the field, if you reveal something that is two mana, keep it there. Like, you know, there's just a good chance you're going to counter something. And the fact that you can look and rearrange and, like, yeah, there's no reason that, yeah, there are reasons. Sometimes the RNG doesn't work in your favor, but there's a really good chance that you just counter and a lot of stuff with this that it makes up for its 2 mana.
Yeah, I mean, it's a repeatable counter spell in this deck.
Right.
Between Glarb in your command zone and Sensei's Divining Top, like, you hopefully are pretty much in control of what's on top of your deck.
Right.
Or you know, like, hey, I should save this interaction in my hand because I have a wonky 5 CMC spell on top of my deck right now that's not going to counter shit.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot that, like, goes into counterbalance. Like, it's surprising sometimes you do reveal a misdirection, a gush, or a force of will, and it counters an ad nauseum, and it's...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's gross. Sometimes, yeah, exactly. Sometimes you do want to counter that ad nauseum.
No One Left Behind is also there.
I play a 6 CMC example in this deck right now, so...
Yeah. Yep. I love it. It's super underappreciated, and in this deck, again, it's kind of like Sylvan Library, where, like, a lot of people I've seen play counterbalance generically. Like, you know, this will maybe counter something throughout the course of the game, like reveal a land, counter a Chrome Box, whatever. But, like, in this deck, it is magnified to be better than just generically good. It is specifically good with Glarb. So, I'm a big fan of it. Your lands...
Lands are pretty straightforward. Yeah. Nothing too exciting. Like I said, if I'm not playing Gaia's Cradle, just because there's not a high density of creatures in this deck.
Yeah, you're running 18, and it's unlikely.
And I'm not running a lot of untapped stuff, so I don't think I'm going to benefit from it. I don't even have crop rotation.
You are playing the Princess Bride Command Tower.
For sure. How much is that one? That set has gotten... the Silence, I know, is pretty expensive from that set.
Yeah, it says $20 right now.
But yeah, nothing too surprising. I mean, the True Duels, a couple of the Surveil lands, all the fetches, as far as, like, Spice, Shifting Woodland, Odawara, Boseiju, Gemstone Caverns, which are things that we've talked about all being auto includes.
Right.
Yeah, I think Exotic Orchard and Forbidden Orchard can go for something else, maybe.
I think another spice piece of spice, Dol Emroth or Minamo, School at Water's Edge, gets even better here. Like, I think it's another
Untapped target, legendary, permanent. So that interacts with Glarb, interacts with the One Ring.
Exactly.
Positively.
Yeah, and it's magnified again. So, yeah, that's also a really good piece of spice in tech. So this, like you said, the more you look at it, like, the more you could sprinkle in some islands for, like, more gush interaction or more the more potential to, like, be meeting that alternate casting cost for gush. But then that also leads you into potentially, like, including Mystic Sanctuary, which is also an island on its own. It just...
Yes, yep.
You know, so also works. You could also refresh Mystic Sanctuary, like, inadvertently with Gush. So if it gets into...
Oh,
the,
that's true. Yeah.
It gets into, like, the deeper turns, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I need the Force of Will on top or whatever. Like, boom. Back down, put the Force Will on top, cast it from the top with Glarber. You're going for your protected win, right? Mm-hmm. And you have Glarb out, Mystic Sanctuary, put the Force Will back on top. bada bing, bada boom. So, or put the misdirection on top, or put the, you need more card advantage. So you bounce Mystic Sanctuary to cast Gush, right? Goes to the graveyard, you play Mystic Sanctuary, you meet the requirement, put Gush back on top, you bounce a Mystic Sanctuary back again, you draw two more cards.
Yeah. So, like, you know, as we're talking about, like, it's just, what I like about this is that it's a no bad cards combo deck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, none of your combo pieces are bad, and there's multiple, like, you can do a little Rube Goldberg machine on, like, how you want to, like, flesh out your game plan, depending on, you know, what decks you're up against, what pieces have been interacted with on your end, things like that. Like, it's a combo deck. Because, you know, ideally you're going through Doomsday for the easy, you know, the most direct win.
Right.
But there's all these other different lines that still exist.
Yeah, and I'm sure that as you play it, you'll be like, wait, I can do this? Question mark? Now that, you know, you're talking about, let me hit refresh here on the list, having Displacer Kitten in the list. It's mm-hmm. It's one of those things where it's like, no, that card's just kind of a, you know, combo machine on its own. Like, you could, like, now that you have Displacer Kitten in the list, you can realistically pursue the Displacer Kitten, Eternal Witness, Lotus Petal, Dark Ritual line, because the only thing you're missing is Eternal Witness. So
honestly, do you think Hullbreaker Horror is not needed in this deck, and maybe like Ewit is better there?
Like here's the thing that I would say about Hullbreaker Horror is that it looks like it's a reanimation target in the list that is meant to generate infinite mana, right? Through like artifacts. That's why you have, you know, well, there are only a couple of zero drops obviously left in the game, but I think it's a good card. I just don't know if it like is magnified in the same way that like Eternal Witness would.
No, I think you're enable. Actually right. And hearing you talk through it, I think right now I'm going to move Hullbreaker Horror to the sideboard in favor of Eternal Witness.
Yeah, and now you just walk a whole nother combo line that once you generate the infinite mana or whatever, you just get, you know, a few cards back. You get your entire graveyard back in your hand and you can cast all that stuff again. Like, that's what that combo does, is it basically just lets you play whatever cards you have access to, you can just play them multiple, if not infinite times. So
yeah, no, I think that's better too. And also, Eternal Witness and Displacer Kitten are both things that you can neoform Eldritch Evolution into, whereas Hullbreaker Horror, there was kinda nothing at the correct CMC to do that in
right.
this deck.
Right, yeah, it just kind of falls in this weird spot where it's the only thing you can do is put it in the grave and reanimate it or hardcast it.
Yeah, yeah. In a deck that's not focused too much on mana generation, because everything interesting happens at like 3 or 4 CMC at most.
Right, and I think the Eternal Witness interacts more like trending in a more positive direction with things like 6 or, you know, even Endurance. So, yeah, I think, you know, you pop off an Endurance and you play the Eternal Witness, get the Endurance back to your hand so that you can, like, continue to protect the game so that you can give yourself another chance to win if you're stifled on your turn. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Eternal Witness is another card that over the course of time, its text seems like it doesn't do a lot, right? No, it gets better with time, and it does.
Well, I mean, also too, in this deck, it's playing the three other cards it interacts with.
Exactly.
For the combo.
Yep.
Already. Like, and that's the thing I was just saying, like, it's a no bad cards combo deck.
Yep. And let's say you have one tutor in the graveyard because you're in black and you have access to all those really sexy ones or whatever, you pop the combo off, like, you tutor into a piece for it, right? And then all of a sudden you're going through it. And like I said, you get the tutor back to your hand, now you have access to every card in your library. Or let's say the one tutor is Imperial Seal. Well, you just tutor for the four CMC cards so that you can just cast them all with Glarb.
Well, so, I mean, the tutor doesn't even have to be Imp Seal because you have Mystical Tutor, Vamp Tutor, and Worldly Tutor, the other, which are all instant speed boys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of flexibility here. Lots and lots of it, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, honestly, I'm excited to see what the community has to say about this, like, when we post this list.
Yes.
Hey, two cards we didn't talk about. Invasion of Ikoria, which I think is an auto including green for you, right?
For me, yes, it has been.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then Ashiok Dream Render, which I do want to talk about specifically because I think it goes off in this deck.
Yep.
It prevents your, it's a stacks piece, prevent that it's an asymmetrical stacks piece.
Right.
Means your opponents can't search the libraries, turns off tutors, right? It's a planeswalker doing that, so it's hard to interact with. And then the minus one ability is great, I think, that you can use it on yourself even if you want. Target player puts the top four cards of their library into their graveyard, then exile each opponent's graveyard. So, like, there are cases where, I mean, every line of text on Ashiok is good here.
I think that is just, this is one card that I would play. If you're in these colors and you're like, and you're not playing Glarb, right? And you're like, Sylvan Library or Ashiok? Ashiok. Like 10 times out of 10. Like, this is, it is so much generic. It is generically better in all ways than Sylvan Library is. Because, yes, it stacks your opponents out. It doesn't allow them to search their libraries. It is hard to interact with. It is a 3-mana planeswalker. Those are few and far between. And when they do exist,
it's easy to cast too, because it has
flexible pips. Yeah.
It's super flexible.
Yeah. And then the minus one, it comes in with 5 loyalty. Yes, there's no pluses. That's fine. Minus one, you turn off all the work that people have put into their graveyards. Sometimes you just need to activate this once and it boots a player out of the game. So,
yeah, I mean, it's graveyard hate. It's asymmetrical graveyard hate, even, like, because you still get to access your graveyard.
Yes.
But even before that, on the minus one, target player puts the top four cards of their library into their graveyard. You might want to put some of your stuff, like maybe you have your Thoracle on top of your library, reanimate in your hand, and you want to access it right now.
Yeah.
Like, you can just neg one.
I think
your graveyard and reanimate it if you want it.
Yeah, I think every time, like almost every time, you hit yourself with that mill.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. You know,
it's like very seldom cases unless someone imp seals into a Ashiok, you know, without a way to get that card. It's like, yeah, you are like, yes, you hit them. If they imp seal, they put something on top. Yes, you Ashiok them. You hit them, you exile whatever they tutored for.
Yeah, but most time you want to Ashiok yourself.
It's four cards. Yeah.
Because you're reanimating, it's four cards that you're going to have access to. Maybe you have six in play, so you can just replay one of those cards, right?
Yeah, I will say.
Maybe you can E-Wit one of those cards you're putting into your graveyard now.
Absolutely. And you accidentally throw Eternal Witness into the graveyard, and you threw E-Wit and Doomsday into the graveyard on accident, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the deck has ways to get them back. Like,
yeah. Hey, you know what I'm thinking? Does this deck want Intuition?
You can. I was just going to say that with six, like, or I was going to mention that before with six, is like, you can be on Intuition lines here because you are a Doomsday pile. So you put Doomsday, six, and maybe something like Reanimate, right? In your hand, or in the pile, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, give you six, and then play it, discard the land, cast Doomsday. Like,
No, I think Intuition goes in. I just have to figure out what to take out for that.
Yeah, I think there's
maybe
a lot
into
of...
the Flood Mall.
Well, you're gonna put Strix Serenade in for that, right?
Well, not necessarily. I think if I have to just pick one card right now, Into the Flood Mall is the first card to come out. I don't know about, maybe it can go down to 27 lands, but I feel good at 28.
28
a ton of...
is like the golden rule for Mox Diamond, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that you could cut one of these rocks. Like, you could cut Talisman of Curiosity and put
really?
In. Yeah, like, I know it sounds wild, but, like, more than oftentimes, like, it's going to be dead if you're not on some sort of, like, I guess, combo line. You imagine spending your turn casting a Talisman
Honestly,
of Curiosity.
I think Wishclaw Talisman might be the card I cut.
Well, if you can Wishclaw into a Doomsday and win the game that turn, right?
Yeah.
You can sit on a Wishclaw. You don't have to give it away immediately anymore because Dockside doesn't exist.
I'm going into the Flood Mall.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Strix Serenade can wait.
Okay.
We'll see if Strix Serenade goes in. But and we'll see what the community has to say about this deck.
Yeah.
If they look at it.
Absolutely, yeah. So Ashiok, unreal. So good.
Yeah, have we talked about Ashiok on the podcast before?
I don't think in depth. Maybe we've mentioned it, but no, it's like, I think it has to have been recently too. I remember the conversation being kind of fresh, but someone had asked me what I thought about it. And I was like, yeah, you're in the colors, play it, you know? So it's almost that good, right? Like if you're not in five colors, but you are in black and blue in some sort of three color pile, right? I think Ashiok kind of just falls in. Like it does a lot. It does a lot. Keeps the game going. It helps you play to not lose. Keeps your opponents off their off tutoring, and like even for lands, like it shuts down fetch lands. I think it's another card you can consider in as a snap keep if you run into land Dark Writ Ashiok, because your opponents kept a fetch land. So
yeah, it turns off fetches. Yeah. Spells and abilities. They just can't search.
Well, I would say, okay, so if you run into two lands, if you have two lands, Dark Writ, Ashiok, you can keep that because then you can at least continue playing the game after that. If you are on one land and you Dark Writ into an Ashiok without any hope of getting another land, it doesn't say surveil four and then exile the library or the graveyards. No, it's mill four. You could just move through the next two lands you were going to draw on accident. So it's one of those things. It's a very circumstantial keep, but I think that you could Dark Writ keep an Ashiok if you are first or second in turn order. So
I don't know, man, kind of want to build this deck.
No, I think you,
I mean, I already have, but I mean in paper,
I think it's great. I think you can build it in. It will win games. it's that, like, as we talked about it today, it's that good, man. It's that good. I like it a lot. Congratulations on putting together one of the dirtiest decks I've seen in a while.
Okay. Hell yeah. I mean, I did put some of my own spin on it, but I wish I remembered the name of the person who list I copied. So.
Yeah, no, regardless, it has been flashified.
It's
flashier.
I'd love to hear. Hey, yeah, I'd love to hear what the community has to say about it, though.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, if you've checked out the Mock Stars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic: The Gathering and Dr. Pepper, the Chris 23 flavors, the Nectar of the Gods, make sure you leave a comment on the YouTube video, on Spotify, whatever platform suits your fancy. This list is sexy. If you have any suggestions, if you've played the list, if you've gone through and you've ironed out some of the details, yeah, leave a comment. We love the interaction. We want to have those conversations. You can also join the Discord server and jump on there. We'll throw the list up once the episode goes live, and we can literally just brew this list. I don't think it needs much, but maybe a few things. You get some ideas from the community that could help push it in the right direction. So,
yeah.
Any final thoughts on your list?
No.
Here, Flash.
No, that's it, man. I'm really, it was good talking through it,
Yeah. I think, well, let's keep doing that. Let's keep talking through lists, man. This is, I loved this. This was a great episode. The way that you guys can support the show, if you're listening to this, you can subscribe, find us on YouTube. We've almost got 350 subscribers. We're super popular. People like us. We're gonna get to 400 soon. You can also support us. Yeah, you can also support us on all major podcasting platforms, leaving us a 5-star review. You can support us directly via Patreon, become an official Pepperhead, getting access to our bi-weekly giveaways, which we'll be doing after the credits roll on this episode. You can also become a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead, like Will Rule, K Mr. K, U W P Quartz, Demon 82, Tommy Cypher, Jacob Hibbard, the Boogie Ghost, Pool Boy Barry, Draw for Turn, KB, maybe Jeremy, maybe Anthony. Thank you guys so much for your support, and thank you, Revenlift, for hanging out in the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge. All right, Flash. Oh, we have tokens.
Yeah, we have tokens.
If you haven't seen those tokens, we have them. They're on screen. We also are super duper cool. If you want to hang out with us, just let us know. All right. We'll be at Magic Cons in the future. Oh.
And have been in the past.
Have been in the past as well. I'm wondering, with the Magic Con happening in Atlanta next October, Flash, let's just buy our plane tickets now.
Right now?
Right now.
Consider.
Okay. Alrighty. This has been the Mock Stars podcast. Flash, any parting words of wisdom?
No. None.
Drink 2 Dr. Peppers. Zero. Activate your brain. Expand your neural pathways with the Limitless Pill. All right. We're out of here. Peace.
Bye.
All right, you've made it to the end of the episode, which means that we're doing our bi-weekly giveaway. So let's go ahead and shuffle that wheel 3 times with our new entries. And 3. And let's spin that wheel for a Dusk Morn Collector's Booster. Who's going to get it? Ooh. Oh, who is it? It's the Boogie Ghost! Congratulations, the Boogie Ghost. You have won yourself a collector's booster from Duskmorn. Thank you all for supporting the show. Thank you all for participating. It means so much to us to be able to do these giveaways, to be able to, you know, reflect the support that you guys give. And honestly, it just fills our cup. We love doing this thing. So thank you again. Thanks for watching the show. And we'll see you next time. Peace.